1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. William Renick, who is the pastor of Joyful Union Congregation, is joining us to talk about biblical tithing as we once again explore the mysteries of the Bible here on the Phil Henry Show. And this is a Bible Wednesday. And Pastor Renick, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thank you.
All right, Pastor Renick, tithing. The Bible tells us to tithe, does it not?
The Bible tells us in Genesis that we must tithe. And I'll give you the exact quote. This is in Genesis 28, verse 22. This memorial pillar will become a place for worshiping God. And I will give God one-tenth of everything he give me. Now, that is one-tenth of everything you make. And the problem we have had at Joyful Union, and we have had to re-educate our people, is that one-tenth of your gross is not one-tenth of your net. We realize that many in our congregation have been tithing 10% of their net.
Oh, okay, so you had a problem that your congregation, the people were giving you stuff, they were giving you money that was one-tenth of the net?
One-tenth of the net out of their check, as opposed to one-tenth of the net out of their one-tenth of the gross. And you won't get to heaven if you give 10% of the net. You will get to heaven if you give 10% of the gross. Net is a recent creation. Gross is biblical. And in order to ensure that we are getting the gross, what we decided to do, Phil, was we would check people's pay stubs on Sunday morning and make sure that that was what we were getting. We can see what to expect then if we see a pay stub.
All right. So at Joyful Union, what you're doing now, and a lot of these churches who want you to tithe 10%, and if you guys don't know what tithing is, it means donating 10% of your income to your church. According to Pastor Renick, that's in the Bible. You're checking pay stubs.
We are checking pay stubs. Yes, we are. And you can go to another church, but you can never going to wind up going to heaven. What we've also suggested people do is some kind of direct deposit where every 2 weeks the money automatically comes out of your account directly into the church account. And that's one way of doing it. You can have a direct deposit every month, but you have got to make sure that it's one-tenth of your gross, not one-tenth of your net, because you are not, it's not me that didn't get it, it's God's not getting that. And that was upsetting to us.
All right, I know that it was upsetting to you insofar as the Bible specifies one-tenth of one's earnings, but isn't that kind of a voluntary thing?
What is voluntary about the Bible?
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, the fact that you're checking pay stubs, if you're looking at people's pay stubs...
What we did, Phil, is we decided that we could, it would be a lot more expedient, and it would save time if we looked at pay stubs at the door, and that way we know whether or not we can admit somebody to the church.
And would you keep somebody out?
We would keep them out if they did not have a pay stub, yes.
You keep them out of church if they don't have a pay stub. Do you keep them out of the church if you look at their pay stub, and let's say a guy makes, $1,000 a week.
All right, that is $100 a week.
So if a guy's making a grand a week, you're taking $100 of that money a week.
$100 a week. We're taking $52,000 a year. We get $5,200. A man make $100,000 a year. We get $10,000. But a man make $1 million a year. We get $100,000. Everything is 10% of the gross. So that after taxes, if you make $100,000 a year...
All right, let's say you're making $100,000 a year and you're taking home $60,000.
Then we get 10% off the gross.
Okay, so a guy takes home 60 G's. Of that 60, he's got to give you 10. He's making 50.
But that is money that is fixed. It goes to God's house, and it's also money that is biblically mandated. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Biblically mandated. You give me 10% of the gross, not the net. Hell, I told the church 10% of the net, go down on it. Well, you got 15%, your outlay on overhead alone. I mean, that hurts. That burns coming out. That's going to bring you to your knees. Now, I got it. I'm taking my church. We've got the daycare center. I got senior services. In order to assist the congregation in giving, we have installed ATMs in the chapel in case a church member forgets to bring cash. But I will tell you this, and you better believe it, you are not going to stick it to me. Come into my church, you make 10% of the gross, or you don't show up at all.
Why are you angry?
Huh?
Why are you so angry?
Because I have seen in recent years a lot of black churches burn to the ground in the South, a lot of other black churches going bankrupt.
Well, you're acting like this is a civil rights crusade. You know, like those churches that were burned in the South might have been burned by people who had some sort of racist intent. This is a monetary thing. And
I think that black churches are under assault. That's what I tell every brother and sister comes in here. You bring me 10% of the gross. And they're sticking it to me. They're sticking it to God.
All right, Pastor.
You don't stick it to God. You want to stick it to me, that's fine. I'll bend over and I'll smile, too. But you try to stick it to God Almighty.
Right. You're making a mistake.
You're making a mistake. That's right.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation is with us.
You know, Phil, I don't mean to be upset about all of this, but I get so tired of people going sticking their hand in my pocket. I'm bringing them the Word of God every Sunday, and they walk in and sitting their tired rear ends down after maybe they had themselves two double 40. I don't know what they're doing on a Saturday night. And they come in there, they're taking the Word of God from me for free? Bull crap! And I'll tell you this.
Hold on for a minute, Pastor. You want to get upset about this? Look, you're asking people for their money.
That's why we want that pay stub thing.
So if they don't bring a pay stub to the church,
they're sticking their hand in my pocket and they ain't putting nothing back in. They're pulling out, they ain't putting nothing back in. You know, you put your hand in my pocket, at least rub it around a little bit down there. Make me feel good, something. Good God Almighty. And I told a man...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show number here. Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation talking about how people are not tithing 10% of their gross income. They're tithing 10% of the net. And as a result, you are now checking pay stubs.
Checking pay stubs, that's right.
At the door. Well, isn't 10% of the net enough?
I'm sorry, Phil.
Isn't 10% of the net enough?
10% of the net. Hey, the Bible doesn't say this is the Word of God and you can get close enough. The Bible doesn't say it's a sin if you lay down with another man. But you know what? One night out of 365, that's okay. The Bible doesn't say you may not lay down with a woman who is not your wife. But you know what? A weekend out of town in Cancun, that's okay.
All right.
The Bible doesn't say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but for maybe two weekends out of the year, well, hell, you could be Jewish or Jain or Muslim or something like that.
But, Pastor,
the Bible doesn't say that...
Hold on for a minute, okay? I know. So the Bible says that...
The Bible says 10% of everything the Lord gave you, you give back.
All right. Just hold on, all right?
All right.
1-800-449...
Another thing I want to...
Hold on. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Pastor William Renick is on the line from Joyful Union. Are you at the office there, Pastor Renick?
We're renovating our office, Phil, yeah.
You've been renovating that office for the last year. Every time I'm talking to you, you're moving stuff.
We are. I get 10% of the net. I'll be renovating for the next 10 years. You start giving me 10% of the gross, maybe I can get this damn job done.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. This is Ron on the Phil Henry Show. Ron?
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Pastor. Pastor.
Yes.
What I want to know is, do you think that if you don't give that 10%...
Wait, what church you go to?
I'm a Baptist.
All right, you know what Genesis says, don't you?
Yes, sir, I
what's
do.
What's it say?
I know about the 10%, but what I'm
10%
asking
of what?
You is...
10% of
what?
What
I'm asking
what?
You is...
10% of what?
Of what you make.
That's not what the Bible says. But I will give God one-tenth of everything he gave me.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. When's the last time you picked up a Bible?
hey, last night, God helps those that help themselves also, Pastor.
Well, you know, I help
myself. Let me ask you something.
Why don't they tie me? I don't say I'm taking the debt. I'm taking it off the top.
Hey, take it off the top. Take it off the bottom. That's why you're renovating. You know, I'm a businessman, too. I own my own company.
You're a Baptist. As a Baptist man, you know more than anything how important this is. Don't be a cheap ass. Get up, cover up the money, and don't let God come looking for you. You look for God.
Hey, God knows where to find you, Pastor.
God knows where to find you.
In a minute.
I'll tell you right now.
He'll hear you in a minute.
Hey, God, look at me. I'm trying to do God's good work. I want 10%.
I don't believe that.
I want 10%.
I don't believe that.
I tell you what, you come out your well, you don't have to believe me. You want
to
come in my church? You bring out that damn
piece
of
10%.
What? Say what?
I don't believe that you're saying that you're going to go to hell if you don't pay 10% of
you. You're going to rot in hell. You're going to burn.
Lord. Let me ask you something.
You're going to burn. You don't come.
Is David in hell right now?
David is not in hell. You know he is beloved of God.
Hey, let me ask you something, Pastor. Didn't he commit the adultery? Didn't he do the worst sin?
David is beloved
sin?
Of the Lord. But you know that God forgave David because he did not work.
Yes, he did.
That's
Pastor,
right.
Let me ask you something, Pastor.
He is beloved of God.
Do you not think that God's going to forgive you now?
I don't think the Lord is going to forgive any man who willingly holds back on him. The Lord said, I won't pay for it.
I don't believe because that's not a man of God.
Don't be playing it cheap with God.
You, Pastor,
you play it cheap with God.
Don't tell people that they're not going to go to heaven if they don't dish out every bit of that money. Because let me tell you what, God tells people where to send their money, and he don't need you to tell them.
God, where's he telling people to send their money?
You understand what I'm saying?
Where's he telling them to send their money?
He thinks that you need to go down the street and spend that $100 on someone that's starving to death. Please don't go down there and throw it in a church that you don't know whose clothes it's buying.
Oh, that's a lot of claptrap. Oh, that's a whole lot of hooey. Well, son, you know that's a whole lot of hooey, and you know it.
Read the Bible tonight, and it'll tell
you what
you need to know.
Pull your head out and take a look at the world, son. You know that's a bunch of hooey, and you know it. The good Lord knows that his church, I don't see no P.O. box in the Bible, by the way. What do you mean where I'm going to send it?
All right, look at gentlemen. Very good, but I got to take a break here. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Renick is on the line from Joyful Union Congregation. He is quoting the Bible that you tithe 10% of your gross, not your net. And he says some people have been playing it cheap, tithing 10% of the net. So he's checking pay stubs. You don't produce a pay stub, you don't get into the church. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. I got it. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
You know what I mean, though, Phil, about the field trip?
Yeah, I do. Let's hold on. We got to get back into the... Pastor William Renick is with us from Joyful Union Congregation, who he says people have tithing 10% of the net is against the Bible. You got to tithe, meaning give 10% of your gross. For those of you who don't know what that is in the Bible, there's a biblical demand that you give 10% of your income to your church. And
that's the word of God, though.
That is the word of God, according to you, according to Christians. And you say they've been given 10% of the net. And
well, they're given 10% of the net, take it on the backside. I backload a deal and come up front. Now, I try to get together, as I told you, Phil, I tried to get that field trip together. I'm trying to get some L.A. Kings tickets. And we'll get 35 members of our church to go now to L.A. King night, because they'll do a Joyful Union night. And we'll give that money back to our different church charities.
And what are you doing? You're having L.A. King night?
No, we're doing the L.A. King hockey team.
Right.
They have a Joyful Union Congregation night. We can go down, get a block of seats, you know, and make a little money on the backside there for the daycare center, something for our picnic. We did the same thing with the Mighty Ducks.
It's kind of a...
What?
I don't know.
What, you think black people don't like hockey?
It just seems unusual that a black church in Bellflower is getting...
We love hockey. I love it. There, we're supposed to go out to a Laker game. Is that you telling me?
Well, it just seems a little...
Oh, I see. Let the monkeys go watch them bounce that basketball up and down the court. Bull crap. I love hockey. Marcel Dion, all that.
Well, let's get off of hockey for a minute. And
I want to get off and tell you the 10% of the gross.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sherry on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Sherry, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of a pastor would stand at the door and exact money from his congregation when the Lord gives us free will. It says in the Bible that we are to give joyfully unto the Lord. And I'll tell you, I would walk through the door of a church where I was mandatorily required. I wouldn't darken your door. And I think
you'll have to answer to
the Lord for that. That is sacrilegious behavior. And
you
what you're using the money for is not for the great commandment. It's for entertainment. I have never heard of such a thing in my whole life.
No, wait. Now, you got a few things wrong.
And you need to listen, too, and quit interrupting people when they call you.
You got things wrong. You are saying things wrong. I tell you, we take that money and get what entertainment? We go out to an L.A. King hockey game. Big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, big deal is right. That has nothing to do with the
great
commandment.
And you know what else is in Genesis? God said, smile when you write that check, too.
I agree that people should tithe of the first fruits, which would be of the gross, but that is the only place you are right. That is to be done joyfully unto the Lord. And if you are checking paychecks
at
an ATM in your church,
right,
what in the world kind of business is that?
I'll tell you what that is.
The church
is
a money-making business.
That is reminding people of what their duty is to
God
Almighty.
You and your church are an embarrassment to the Christian community.
Well, I'll tell you what. You've never even been in my church, all right? You don't even know my church is about.
If you are telling us that this is what you do in your church, you are an embarrassment to the Christian community.
I raise money.
You are not Christians.
I raise money. I don't have to get on TV like that guy got the hooker sucked his...
And to get on the national airways and curse...
What did I say?
As a pastor, I'm not repeating it.
Look, I've got about...
All the gentleman that's got you on his show has to do is replay the last 5 minutes.
You were swearing.
I didn't swear nothing.
Yes, you did.
Oh, that's a load.
Twice.
I'm saying to you right now, and I've said to everybody else, 10% of everything you get. Now, you can sit there and say I'm a bad guy, I'm using bad language. People don't understand. I should say this, I should say that. I'm an embarrassment to this church, that church. I could get backload of L.A. cock. You could get me out there. The Kings are playing the New York Rangers tomorrow night.
Will you get it off the Kings? Here is Houston. Neil, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I have a comment. I think Jesus answered all of this. You're quoting out of Genesis, but Jesus came to clarify.
That's right.
He came to clarify the word of God. Did not Jesus say, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's?
He didn't say that technically, no.
No, he did say that.
What he said was, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's, and God wants 10% of everything you got.
You are a false prophet.
I'm a false prophet.
You're a sinner from Satan.
I'm reading the Bible. You go get yourself some adult literacy, and you read the Bible too. Now, it takes a lot of contributions to keep up our yachting and polo ministries.
And did God not say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him
should
not perish but have everlasting life?
What's that got to do with it?
It does not say anything about giving 10% of your growth.
Yes, he did. He said, give to God.
It says, believe in Jesus Christ to be saved.
What's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
It means you are a prophet, a false prophet, my friend.
A false prophet.
You have a money changer in your temple.
I glorify
you.
Really
have a money changer in your temple.
I glorify
you. Did you not say
Jesus.
You have an ATM machine there?
Oh, why? Just because I'm trying to help the brothers and sisters make a change.
Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple.
Why the hell they got? The money changers came out of the temple because none of them had any change.
Wow. You're claiming that Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple because none of them had any change. Is that right, Pastor?
That's right. That's why he threw them out. Walking around, they said, anybody got change of a dollar? All he's got, oh, hell, I ain't got, you got to buy something first. The hell he did, he pitched them out.
Well, you keep mentioning the L.A. Kings, I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. That's Pastor William Renick. This is The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show here. You know, I was just looking at Charles Kuralt on TV. They had some slides of him, and they're talking to his mistress. You know, Charles Kuralt, the guy who did the... I used to do a pretty decent Charles Kuralt impression, which went something like this. Hello, I'm Charles Kuralt. You remember when he did? You know, everything was... There's a duck down by a pond. You remember that Sunday morning show he did? Hello, I'm Charles Kuralt. Mary Jones has a little farm not far from Des Moines, Iowa, where she feeds the ducks and all everything with the ducks with that guy. And at the end of his show, there's some more ducks. Hello, this is Charles Kuralt on the road. It's an old gas station out near Miller's Pike, about 14 miles outside, blah, blah, blah. Turns out this fat sack of crap had a mistress, right? Not that anybody was really, you know... Shocked. It surprised me. I'm probably the guy that it surprised. Everybody else, I think everybody probably would say, hey, do you know that Charles Kuralt had like a woman on the side? And forgive me, well, I won't say. I don't want to be anything less than a gentleman. But you figure a guy of his stature and money, don't you think he could have done a little better? Well, okay, anyway. So he had a mistress. You know, Charles Kuralt, Mr. On the Road, Mr. Class Act, the guy that all the old ladies loved to watch on Sunday morning, the guy that everybody thought was sort of the modern-day John Steinbeck. He's got some woman on the side, and he's having kids with her. Now, here's a married guy who's already got children. This is the thing that bothers me. Call me old-fashioned. I don't care what you call me. You can call me anything you want. A guy that's married and then goes outside of his marriage and has an affair and has kids with the broad that he's sleeping with, this guy deserves to be shot. So I guess technically Charles Kuralt should have been shot. Well, he's dead, so... No, I mean, I got no problem. Look at that, Larry King shaking her hand. Well, I'm really sorry to hear that you had to screw that guy, but, you know... I'm Larry King. Sorry you had to go to bed with such a fat tub, but... Remember the time that the JonBenet and her parents were on there, and Larry was getting hot for the old man? That's great. So, Kuralt, turns out, had this mistress. Turns out that they were suing the family for all this money. He turned out to be a pile. Look at this. They got an interview with him in 1995 talking about what a folksy old creep he was. You ever wonder about these people, and it's something that is, we're all beginning to finally get the hang of this thing. You know, like everything else, Phil Henry's on the edge of this one, man, but let me lay it on you. A person's work is different from the person. And if you want to admire their work, admire their work. But if you start looking at that individual apart from their work, you are going to be bitterly disappointed. Bitterly disappointed. So if you want to have your fantasy about that person and the hero that you think they are, just continue in your fantasy and don't read any books about your hero. Don't read any biographies. Just continue on. Be fat, dumb, and happy. And get mad at the rest of us who start bringing out the truth or start investigating to find out what the guy really was like. Now, Charles Kuralt, this guy's just the tip of an iceberg. You know, he was a guy doing a news show. He's nothing. It's like me. I'm nothing. What I do here, this is nothing. Most of these heroes that we have today are people who aren't really worth... They're not worth the paper it takes to write their story on. Let's take, for instance, the guy I mentioned to you last night, Joe DiMaggio. For the longest time, we thought he was just something else, man. Jolton Joe, Yankee Clipper, class and style, Mr. Coffee. He was just a bomb. Turns out he was so freaking tight he squeaked. Nobody liked him, and he didn't like anybody else. He wasn't kind. He wasn't a good father. His own son died 6 months after he did of a drug overdose, living in a garbage can because his old man was so freaking cheap. He didn't have any money for his own son. Couldn't even be a father to him. All Joe DiMaggio knew how to do was pine after Marilyn Monroe. That's the only thing that guy... That's probably the only decent feeling that guy ever had in his life. Real strong, silent, pardon me, WAP type. Excuse me, Mike, I know your family's Sicilian. But anyway, Joe DiMaggio, another real, another real letdown. He played a hell of a game of baseball, so they tell me. I never saw the guy play ball. I wouldn't know Joe DiMaggio playing baseball from Mickey freaking Mantle. But they say he was pretty good. Turns out he's a pile. The other guy, that Kerouac. How about Bob Marley? How many kids did he have? 163, of which he only recognized 4. Because I guess that's Bob Marley, you know? And you talk about just reinforcing the stereotype of some black guy going out and having as many kids as he wants with as many different women as he wants, because that somehow reinforces his manhood. Here we go again. They got this Charles Kuralt. It's Sunday morning. I'm Charles Kuralt. And talk about reinforcing a stereotype. Get married to half of these women, will you? He had 15 kids. What's the point of that? 15 kids, and he recognized four. Now, somebody tell me what that is about. Then, we had J. Edgar Hoover, which is the all-time. That's a home run among home runs. J. Edgar Hoover. Remember watching that old TV show on ABC, the FBI? And Efren Zimbalist would go into the room, you know. I have to go in and see the director, yeah. You know, and then he'd return with his hair mussed. And J. Edgar Hoover, the number one crime fighter in America, the number one anti-communist in America, the big, bad, tough cat who ran the FBI and was going to keep the commies out of underneath our bed, this guy wore skirts, negligees, high heels, called himself Helen, and later on with Clyde Tolson, you know, reading a lot of Sylvia Plath. What the hell? The hell is going on? I mean, if the guy's a good cop, he's a good cop. But don't start telling me what a great hero he is. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Now, Rock Hudson, there's another guy. All those great movies? Well, I say all those great movies. I don't exactly know what great movies Rock Hudson made. Everybody tells me, oh, what was it, Giant? The one with James Dean. Was that cool? Because the rest of that Doris Day stuff, and Doris Day, she found out about Rock, man. She ain't come out of Monterey since. She's in Carmel with all the dogs up there, man. It's just, she's just saving cats wandering the street. And then John Kennedy, he was a pile, but then everybody wanted to know. You know, nobody liked Kennedy, at least I shouldn't say nobody. All the Republicans hated his guts, so it was wonderful when they found out that he was sleeping with Marilyn Monroe, although there ain't one Republican I can think of could ever get anything that sweet. Jeez. You don't like Kennedy for sleeping with Marilyn Monroe. Why? Because he did and you couldn't? Is that it? Eleanor Roosevelt, she was a Bull Dyke, apparently. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Eleanor Roosevelt and Rock Hudson are the least of our worries. They were gay. They lived a lie. But, you know, it was a time. They had to. You couldn't come out and be proud in those days. You couldn't be saying, hey, I'm gay. What are you going to do about it? Because people were going to squash you back then. Now you got a shot. Back then you couldn't do that. So really, those two guys don't even belong on the list. But Joe DiMaggio and Charles Carrault. And then there's all the bullcrap, you know, stories that are flying around, like FDR died in the arms of his female lover. BS. How do you know that, Melissa? FDR, I happen to know he died in the arms of his male lover. So just get out of here. So anyway, Carrault and DiMaggio and Jack Kerouac. And now I find out that Mike Schaefer, jeez, he drinks too much. So all of my heroes. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. 1-877-616-7445. That's 877-616-Phil. And a lady had called in a break, and she said, I called that number, and they're not, you know, right. They're not there. They're not. There's something wrong. I said, well, did they answer? Well, yeah, but... Well, then just try again, ma'am. You know, I don't know. I don't know how to help these people. You know, I do the best I can. Sometimes I'll catch the phone myself, you know, and strangest questions. They want to know about how we do the show, and isn't that the same guy you had on last? Look, just listen to the Phil Henry Show and figure it out yourself. We're done explaining the show. Do you know that? It is an absolute insult to the intelligence of the human race that I should have to explain this show to anybody. If you don't get this show, you are so freaking dumb. I mean it, man. You ought to be taken out and put out of your misery, you dumb, dumb, dumbass. Hey, what kind of show is this where you do the... Just figure it out. you need to listen to this show more than a couple of times, and you're going to get it. Then you're going to hate my guts for what it is that I'm able to do because of my marvelous talent. And then after a while, you'll start digging it. And then after a while, you'll start critiquing it. And after a while, you'll become a groupie, and you'll become insufferable, and you'll become dull, but you'll be a fan. And, you know, there you are. The fans of this show are the most insufferable, dull. Oh, I avoid them. People who love this radio show, I avoid you. Because I can't take it anymore. I can't stand it any longer, listening to you and your opinion. See, what happens is this. You do a great show that nobody's ever heard before, which is exactly what the Phil Henry Show is, a radio show that no one has ever even attempted, never had the guts to do until we came along. And then everyone goes, wow, that sure is different. And then they say, well, here's how you can do it better. So you see, you got an original idea, and everybody now wants to help you with it. Not that they ever had 5 cents worth of brains to come up. And then after that, they start stalking you. So having said all of that, we're going to have a personal appearance next month, and I'd just love to see all of you out there. Yeah. But, I mean, it's just sad, you know. So I don't want to have to explain it. Just listen to it. And, by the way, I'd like to thank Andy Denmark from United Stations for the very nice email. Like I said, I love Andy. I think he's a great guy. I think Dick Clark is a marvelous guy. And, of course, they're not ripping off the Phil Henry Show with their Callers on Demand DJ service. I never tried to intimate that they're ripping me off. I simply said it sounds a whole lot like they got the idea from my show, which Andy assures me that he had nothing to do with creating that, nor did Mr. Clark have anything to do with that. Just a bunch of creeps that were listening to my show that work for United Stations stealing my material. I'm kidding. Those cats just came up with this idea. It's a DJ. What it is a service for morning disc jockeys. So if the calls to your show suck, well, you can have actors call up. Now, how do I put this delicately? Well, I better not. I happen to know who some of the people are that work as actors on that caller on demand. And actors is pushing it. That's really stretching the bound, the definitions there, baby. Aspiring might be a little bit more to the point. Can you imagine that, though? So what happens is you know, this cat is doing a morning show, and his calls blow, so he has this callers on demand, and he gets an actor to call his show. Hi, yeah, I was listening to your show. And it's all phony baloney. Well, sure, things can be phony baloney, but Jesus, have the common courtesy and the common decency to acknowledge the true master, who I am. We don't have no actors on this show. We don't set calls up on this show. We just do what we do. But if I got to sit here and explain how the show's done, I will tell you, though, that for you new affiliates that are coming on, and we would like to welcome on New Orleans and Columbus. Yeah, thank you, Mike. Mike says actor isn't the right word. Waiter is the right word. So thank you for that. this radio show is a theatrical presentation, and it utilizes improv comedy, interactive with the audience to achieve its end. And its end is to make you laugh. And we do that by theatrically presenting situations, utilizing characters. A lot of people don't get that either. A lot of people in this business tell me, you know, Phil, you're not a very good voice impressionist. I don't do impressions, man. I mean, I can tell sometimes it's the same I don't do that. I do characters. I create a character. Like our good buddy Gary Oldman, all the different characters that he's ever done, I still know it's him. What, he must really suck, man. I can tell that's Gary Oldman. What a lousy actor he is. So I don't do that. I do characters, and we create them, and we do them, and, you know, and that's how we do it. But see, this is radio. You're not allowed to do any of that. In radio, you have to be a dull clod. You have to just pitch the commercials, and you have to play the music, and you have to read the liners, and you just have to move on with it. If you want to do real art, you have to be in television and movies, right? But radio, you're not allowed to do that. In radio, you can't make any statements. You can't be different. You have to just go along with the program. Well, we don't do that on this program. We never have, and that's tough. Is it time for a thing? Okay, here's the song that Mike picked out tonight. It's Van Halen, and this is called Our Band Really Was Pretty Bad, wasn't it? It's from their album We Suck. Van Halen.
This is really crazy. I would like to know why, if there's two kids here involved, you love your kids by respecting their mother.
I'm sorry?
I said you love your kids by respecting their mother. You have two kids.
I do respect
you respect their mother by sending an email and saying, you got a week to get out.
Ted Bell is busy right now.
Ted Bell, nobody is that busy.
Ted Bell. Well, you know, I don't know where you are, but Ted Bell is involved in the planning of the Academy Awards for the Stanford. I got friends coming into town.
Well, that's big and important, more important than your kids.
But wait a second. I take care of my kids.
You're not taking care of them when you disrespect their mother.
I'm not disrespecting
you
her.
Are.
I sent her
an
I
email.
Said,
give me a break. That's what you do to send a greeting to someone.
What am I supposed to do when I've got
you
meetings
have to pick
with
up the phone
I got
and
three
call,
Japanese.
Oh, just like you just called Phil Henry and you have spent the last 30 minutes.
That's a really good point. You're
so
talking to me.
You've not got time.
Wait. Let me say something. I called Phil to simply say I can't have dinner with
you
tonight.
Well, boy, you took the time to stay on the phone, didn't you?
Well, he asked me some questions.
Hey, your wife probably has questions too, but you won't return a phone call.
Look, I'll answer all the questions my wife has for me. As
oh, when
we
you
get
have
out
time next year?
Academy Award season is one of the bigger parts. Look, I independently produce films.
I think you gave her the best Valentine you ever could have because getting rid of bad news.
It was very tasteful. I said, dear Marcy, I
There's
love you.
There's nothing tasteful about separating through email.
How do you know?
Because I'm more classy for one thing.
Oh, maybe it happened to you.
No,
this isn't about
not.
Her. This isn't about the caller.
No, I think it is. Go ahead, let's just take the gloves off and let's say it. I think it happened to you.
Well, that shows how much you know.
You've had your head in the restaurant business too long. I've been working the rest. Look, I've sent a very tasteful email saying, dear Marcy,
for God's sake.
You've got 7 days to get out. I didn't say 7 days to get out of the house. I said, I'll give you 7 days.
Look at Ted. There's
you know
no way.
You did? You sent her a joke in an email.
Hey, look, don't knock it until you try it.
And you sent her a joke. I would never try that. I would never do that. To anyone, especially
you know,
anyone, I would never do that to the father of my children.
I don't like the father of my children,
but I'll tell you what, I respect him I love my kids.
I think it takes a lot of guts for me to stay on the phone and take a lot of abuse from people I never met. I called you up, Phil, to say I couldn't have dinner with you tomorrow night.
All I'm saying is...
No.
You didn't mean to do that, but you could have emailed Phil about the dinner and taken the time to call your wife.
Let me ask you a question. How many radio stations is my wife on? None. Phil Henry is on a network of some 80 radio stations.
Oh, so that's it.
Uh-huh.
So that's it.
What do you mean, aha?
Okay.
You showed your butt.
No, I did look it. I can talk to my wife, but this way...
This way, you don't have to because you can't face what you've done.
Look, because all you people are going to think I'm an a-hole, if you'll pardon the expression, and I can convince you that I'm not. Talking to my wife isn't going
to
do that.
You're not.
Just talk to your wife, we wouldn't think you're an a-hole.
That's true. You really are. You called it.
You are an
a-hole.
You know, that really hurts.
Oh,
okay.
I'm so sorry. I'd rather be you than your wife.
So I guess you just call people butthole for no reason. Is that it?
You don't think that's a reason? Well, I'll tell you what.
It was a tasteful email, and I hate you.
Bill.